Supposedly, in about 10 days, California is going to have the first execution of a man. His name is Harris, for committing a murder. Now, this man that they're going to execute, his name is Harris. As it turns out, about 10 years ago, he committed a double murder. And all of the bleeding hearts are out there carrying around their placards against the death penalty. My, we should not have the death penalty. And ministers get up in the pulpit like this Catholic minister did down in Salinas at the Good Shepherd Episcopal Church in Salinas on Sunday morning and said, in just a few weeks, you and I are going to kill a man and lay a guilt trip upon all of his parishioners there. And of course, did he tell them what this man had done? Okay, he said here, Jesus himself was a victim of capital punishment. Can you imagine Jesus endorsing the idea of sending a man to the gas chamber? All the bleeding hearts would go, oh, I can't do that. Do you think he would choose life for an offender or death? For many Catholics who hear his homily and agree that capital punishment is wrong would figure there are just as many or more who would rather not think about it at all. Then I won't go into this. He says people, a great many people have not given it any thought. Well, that is true. A great many people have not given it any thought. And there's something that we need to understand. Let's ask the question, should a Christian today agree with the death penalty of criminals? Before I answer that question and get into it, because there are a lot of people who say, well, as Christians, we need to be pacifist, we need to go along with everything, okay? Let me tell you what this Harris did. It's a rather grisly thing. First of all, he was in prison for murdering a teenager. Did you realize that? Not a word here. Of course, these do-gooders do not care for anything about the life of the individual who's dead, or their family, or anyone. Okay? He was in prison serving 20 years for killing a teenager. But he is such a charming man that he and his parole officer struck up a relationship, and she was instrumental in getting him paroled. So while he was on parole and he got out and his brother told him, or he told his brother rather, we're going to go down here and rob a bank. Nice, wonderful, law-abiding citizen on parole. Okay. However, we need a car. So as they came into this Burger King restaurant, whether it was Burger King or McDonald's, I think it was Burger King or Jack in the Box or whatever, not relevant which restaurant. They drove up in his brother's old car or truck, and they spotted these two teenagers who were not in school that day because it was his day off from school. And they were going to go fishing up by one of the local dams. So they had permission from their folks to go fishing. They had their fishing gear in there, and they stopped at this Burger King to have a hamburger. And so they bought the hamburger and milkshake and french fries and so forth and went out to their car. And when they're talking and eating, and Harris comes up with a gun, points it right in there, and gets into the car and kidnaps these two kids with the car. Okay? His brother follows along in a truck. And he takes them up to the dam near where they were going to go fishing. He told them to get out of the car. Got out of the car and went over, made them get out and walk up toward one of these big, it was a big conduit for letting water out, but there was no water coming out. And he pointed the gun at one of them and shot him. So the other kid started running, and Harris went and chased him, finally caught him, and the kid was on his knees and said, oh, God, have mercy, spare me. and he shot him right point blank in the head, and then shot him again for running. He went on back to where the first one was that he killed, went into the conduit, and he wanted to know what would it be like if someone were shot in the head at close range. So he took the gun and put it right up close to the boy's head and shot it again and blew his brains totally out, though he was already dead, just to see what it was like. Then he went down to the car, and since he was hungry after all of this work that he had done, he ate their hamburgers, finished off their milkshakes, and ate their French fries, and he and his brother went and held up a bank. No one has asked the question, what about the mother and father of those two boys? There is a dilemma in the lameless, milquetoast thinking of people like this, that we must by all means preserve people. Okay, so let's ask the question, first of all, what does Jesus say? Let's ask the question, okay? Let's go to one where there is an example. Let's go to Luke 13. And here were people talking about just accidental deaths, okay? And verse 1, and there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered unto them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Okay, now what has God instituted? What has God instituted? We'll look at some other things here. Okay? What does God say the wages of sin is? Death. Does God believe in the death penalty for sin? Yes, God believes in the death penalty for sin. What are one of the capital crimes that is listed in the Ten Commandments that is counted as worthy of death? Murder. Especially premeditated murder of such a callous thing that this Harris had done. I mean, you've got to be callous to do that. Even his brother, when he saw him killing those boys and then went up to look at him, had to run out and vomit his guts out because he couldn't take it. But Harris sits down and eats their hamburgers. Okay? Now, let's go to 1 Timothy. And let's see what Paul taught of that. And then we'll go to the New Testament and we'll look at a couple of things there. 1 Timothy, the first chapter. And let's pick it up in verse 3 so we can get the whole flow of things here. Verse 3, as he besought you to abide still in Ephesus, I went into Macedonia that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. The end, now this means the purpose, the goal, the whole means, see. The purpose of the commandment is love out of a pure heart. Cain is based on what? What are all the commandments of God based upon? We know they're based upon love, but what is the fulcrum of all of that? You shall have no other gods before me, right? Isn't that the fulcrum of all of it? Yes. Okay. Now it says, from which some, having swerved aside unto vain janglings. Now, I will have to say that this is vain jangling, where a man gets up in the pulpit and says to his congregation, in a few weeks you and I are going to kill a man. Not so. We'll show you here. Desiring to be teachers of the law, neither understanding what they say nor whereof they affirm. And isn't that the root of every stinking rotten heresy that comes along? People trying to be teachers that don't know what they're saying or what they're affirming. You know, sure true. I've got a whole stack of stuff at home. You can't believe it. I don't want to burden you down with it. I'm still getting the truth plain from our mixed up chauffeur blowing friend from down south. I could tell him, don't send me anymore, but I want to see it just to see how ridiculous things get. Goes from bad to worse, okay? But we know that the law is good. Okay, the law is good. If a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law, and it should read here, is not enacted upon. It says in the King James, is not made for a righteous man. It really means is not enacted upon a righteous man. It's not. If you're not breaking the law, it's not enacted upon you, correct? All right. But for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, unholy, profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and man slayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, we still have the problem, don't we, today? Mankind, womankind, read Romans 1, okay? For men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. In other words, he's telling us here that the law is enacted upon sinners. Now, who is to enact that law? Romans 13. Let's go to Romans 13, and let's see some very important things concerning that. Romans 13 and verse 1, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever resists the power, resists the ordinance. And they that resist shall receive judgment to themselves, it says damnation in the King James. For the rulers are not a terror to good, but to the evil. That's what they should be. Will you not then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praises of the same. For he is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. I wonder why he didn't read this. Oh, you'd be surprised how many are in those stinky pews that don't believe in God. Are there to undermine Christ. Okay? So let's look at some of these things. Let's answer some other questions here. Okay? See where we're going with this. Okay, let's go to Romans, not Romans, but Matthew, the fifth chapter. Matthew 5. Okay? And here's ultimately what is going to happen. Let's ask the question. No, hold your place in Matthew 5, and let's go to Revelation 21. Okay? Let's ask the question, does God believe in the death penalty? Okay? For sinners. Yes. Does he also believe in repentance for sinners who repent? Yes, he does. Absolutely, he does. So we'll try and answer the question, what happens if someone who has committed a murder in prison repents? Should we then give him life instead of death? You're dealing with two different laws. You're dealing with two different things. If he's a murderer and the sentence is death, is it possible for him to repent of that and we could say be baptized and be in the resurrection, though he's executed for his present crime. Yes, it's possible. Okay? But if they don't repent, and there are people who won't repent, you think of someone like this Harris, who is as calloused in his mind as he is, do you think he's going to repent? I can't judge his heart. I'll tell you a little later about some people I think that have committed the unpardonable sin. You can almost tell by looking at them. Okay? Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. God believes in the death penalty. All right. We will see here in Matthew 5. Let's go back here. And let's see in Matthew 5. Does God believe in the death penalty because it's really what he wants to do, or is it because God is righteous and that is what he must do to sinners? The answer is the second. God would rather not have the death penalty. That's why when we go clear back to the Garden of Eden, we had what? The tree of life, correct? Then there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in the day they ate thereof, because they sinned, they would surely die. Now, let's go here to Matthew 5 and verse 21. Let's see what Jesus says, and this has to do with murder. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, we'll go back and see that in just a minute. Okay? But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whose judgment? God's judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, is what they would say. But I say to you, whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of Gehenna fire. And you can go all the way through and you can show that God believes in the death penalty. He also believes in law and order. Now, not the way that Gorbachev has it, see? We've been all everybody's so excited about what Gorbachev is doing. Hey, he's rolling troops into Lithuania right now. Once a communist, always a communist, right? Okay, let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's see what's wrong with our judicial system today. A very basic one. Why do we have hardened criminals today? And why is it that when someone perpetrates a crime of the magnitude that has been done, why is it that something happens to them? Why did they let Harris out the first time? Those two boys could still be alive today if we didn't have a bunch of model and mushheads running the system concerning criminals who have perpetrated violent crimes. And rape is a violent crime. I heard something interesting the other day, and we'll see this too. That never has it been recorded that there is a rehabilitated sex pervert, period. They always end up doing something again, either raping or child molestation or what have you. And the reason is something has happened to the mind. So there's a reason why God gives a death penalty, because you can't have people like that running around in the society and doing things like that to other innocent people. They have misplaced compassion. What it is really is satanic compassion, if I could use the terminology. The satanic compassion. To entrap other people to let sin continue in the land. Okay? Now, Let's pick it up here in chapter 8 and verse 6. Because to every purpose there is time. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 6. And judgment. To every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. Saying we bring a lot of things on ourselves. Oh yes, and our wonderful Secretary of State, James Baker, went down and he went into one of these apartheid villages to see how bad things were. And I tell you what, doesn't matter how poor you are, you don't have to throw your garbage and your excrement out your window. I don't care how poor you are, you don't have to have trash and stuff everywhere. I don't care how poor you are, that's no excuse for murder. That's no excuse for any of the things that apartheid did not cause what is going on in some of those little shanty towns down there. Apartheid is the result of what was going on. Apartheid did not cause it. Those conditions existed before apartheid came into existence, and it was the minority people down there trying to protect themselves from this hellish, uncivilized debauchery that these people live in. And you go from country to country to country to country, wherever there are uncivilized people, and I'm not talking about a race or skin or anything, I'm talking about uncivilized people, and you can find the same thing. The problem is not apartheid, the problem is that they live in an uncivilized manner. That's what the problem is. Now, apartheid, they should have taught the people what to do, but most are saying now that after colonialism has left and gone, the people that who are supposed to be the poor, beaten down abjects under their rule are worse off. They are poorer. They are less educated than before. Okay? So it's just like it says here, you see? For every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. And that's what's happening in our society today. Just take this one verse and think about it. Okay? You can apply the same verse to AIDS. Because we didn't quarantine it. Oh, you can go back one step further. Because we allowed and tolerated homosexuality. Okay? And I read a new report on possibly the source of AIDS. And it's not necessarily the HIV virus. The HIV virus may be a superbred combination, syphilis, gonorrhea, herpes, and cancer. Especially when you have the AIDS that causes dementia of mind, and that's why you don't want to be working with people who have AIDS, because you don't know when they're going to lose their cookies. And they're going to go bananas around you, just to use a few adjectives, okay? And start biting and killing and destroying. Did you hear what one of the defenses was for one of the murderers? Oh, he had AIDS, and the dementia hit him, so he killed these people. Good reason to quarantine him, right? Right? Yes. I mean, they missed the whole point. So you can take this. You can take, because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Isn't that true? Absolutely. That's what's happening in society. Everywhere you look and you turn. For he knows not that which shall be. Remember when Timothy O'Leary came out and said the greatest, most wonderful thing is, what was it? It was acid. Hallucinate. Oh, he was, and where is he? I don't know what it'll be. Okay? Same way with drug taking. Same way with, you know, a lot of these things. There's a man I was doing business with, and all of a sudden he just withdrew from business and left his wife, and for some quirk of reason he just didn't want to be married anymore, and his wife is hanging there and just, you don't know. It's a terrible mess. Okay? For who can tell him when it shall be? I mean, living scriptures, right? Can't believe it. There is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. In other words, there's no one that has power over life to retain that life. And it's always true. The most hideous plead for mercy when someone is pointing a gun at them to arrest them. You see? see, and that's why there are such things as vigilante cops and vigilante judges. And then they get tried for being vigilantes when what they're trying to do is restore what should have been in the first place, see? Okay? Then he goes on and saying here, neither has he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in war. Let's see. What is my marginal reference here? There is no casting of weapons. In other words, you aren't going to solve the problems by war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. I'm going to put in my margin right here, rock music. How many saw that latest report on a rap group? Oh, most dirty, raunchy, wretched stuff you could ever imagine. You see, freedom of speech does not entitle people to invade your mind, to demoralize you. If they, in their own privacy of their home, want to become depraved, the first act out of that, out of their own mind towards someone else needs to be taken care of. I mean, it is, once you take freedom of speech to its ultimate, then you have no control. What always wins out? Because you got new kids coming along, see? And don't we now have a society where they're not taught anything about God? All right. But it's going to devour them. Okay? I'm going to put rock music here. All right. Speaking of wickedness, let's go on here a little bit further. Verse 9. All this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man rules over another to his own hurt. Living words, within the church, without the church. Because you get too much power and you take it to yourself and you abuse it and you beat other people up with it. Okay? So I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity. And when you drive by a cemetery and you look out there, and you know, this is always a sobering thought. And you drive by a cemetery and you see all these crosses or tombstones, or you know, some of them even make mansions to themselves. You know, we're so much more sophisticated than the Egyptians, who built houses for the dead to live in, you know, but some people still do that today. Every one of those individuals had life and breath and an independent mind and thought at one time, and felt and acted and thought very much like you. Maybe a little differently because who they were and what their education was, but needless to say, there they were. And so you drive by, you don't know who they are or where they are. See, saying, this is also vanity. Now verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. That's what's the matter with the death penalty today. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. It's exactly what we have today. It's not executed speedily. And my question is, it really bothers me. Maybe you can help me out on this. Where do these death row inmates get all this money for all these expensive appeals? I'm not talking about Social Security. I'm talking about where do they get the money to pay the attorneys to do all these? Those are costly things. ACLU is one. Yeah, I know that. And they are run by what? The internationalists, those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan sent out to destroy this nation. That's one source, okay? They have lawyers hovering around these people looking for the least little excuse to get them off, okay? But then you take someone, you know, like this captain who that Exxon ship that had the big oil spill up there. Boy, they stamped him, you know, if they could have, they would have killed him 1,000 times over again. At least they had a jury that could see through, man, if any man drank that much, according to these witnesses, were there false witnesses? Can people take you to court on a whim just because they're on a fishing trip? Yes, sure they can. Can they bleed you of all of your money so they can pay their stupid attorneys? Yes, they can. So they got all these witnesses up there, and the jury was at least smart enough to say, man, if he had drunk all that, he couldn't even walk on the ship, let alone give the three orders to get the ship going and so forth. This is absurd. But I do agree that he should do 1,000 hours community service and go out and help clean. I agree with that 100%. And the fine that he has to pay, I agree with that 100%. Yes, it should be. But I still can't figure out, for the life of me, two things. Why, when something like that happens, they can't abandon ship and blow it up and burn it. Just burn it. Then it wouldn't be polluting everywhere, right? If you burn it up, it's gone, right? Or number two, bring all these ships in, as I said before, make them put in a 2 or 3 inch neoprene lining inside those tanking compartments and line it with, you know, steel belted, okay? That would be virtually impregnable. You could smash that against rocks and it would bend and give and, you know, make the top of the ship so if that happened that it could, you know, it could come up and it wouldn't break the ship apart. But even those compartments filled with oil, do you realize that they would float in the water if they were towed by a tugboat? Sure they would. Oh, but no, we've got to be, don't get, this is my day against the civil government today, forgive me, okay? Okay, normally I don't bring sermons like this, but after that thing, when I heard the story about that Harris, and then I saw this thing in a paper, I said, that's it, sooner or later. Okay, let's read on, verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. Now we're finding out that old Forbes, you know, the great billionaire, he's a homosexual. And now they're calling for, here's another thing with homosexuals. Where is that? It's not on this one, it's on another section of the paper. Where now they are exposing all the homosexuals that are in office, you see. If you ever wondered why no one can do anything with the homosexual population and problems and practices, because too many in government secretly are. Okay? And they all know who they are. Okay? So if they don't go along with that, then they'll expose them and they'll lose power. See, so they're not concerned with ruling or citizens or people. They're concerned with power. That's all they're concerned with, whether they keep it. They don't care what's right, okay? Though sinner do evil 100 times, his days be prolonged, yet I know surely that it will be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are a shadow, because he fears not God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. In other words, innocent people are involved in things which are not true. They're not right. Just like I mentioned, I think it was some time ago, that there was this young couple who refused to rent out their apartment to this homosexual couple back in Milwaukee. Yeah, Minneapolis. So they made them go down and have a lecture how good homosexuality was. Said, oh, by the way, you can settle this so we won't take you to court for $1,500. You can pay our bureaucratic regime over here. You know what I feel like doing? See, I'm not a pacifist, brother. Believe me. I would feel like give them a wad of money with a piece of dynamite in it and let them put it in there and blow the thing up. Because that's extortion and an extraction to me. Okay? Again, there be wicked men to whom it happens according to his work, to the work of righteous, I said, righteous, work of the righteous, I said, this is also vanity. And I commended mirth, because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat, to drink, to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God has given him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for there is also that there is neither day nor night, sees sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it, yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet it shall not be, yet he shall not be able to find it. Okay, that's getting into scientific endeavors. Isn't it true today? They're absolutely astounded. They don't know what to think about the universe now with all the things they have found out there. Okay, let's go back to this thing of capital punishment. And while we're at it, let's touch a little bit on insurance, because there's someone out there writing and saying that if you have insurance, you are serving the devil. Did you know that? Any kind of insurance. Because you're not trusting in God. Do you know that? Nonsense. It's not a matter of my lack of trust in God that I have insurance, because I don't trust the other guy out there who doesn't believe in God, right? Got to have it for him, right? Sure. Okay. Now, let's go to Exodus 21. Oh, before we go to Exodus 21, let's go to Genesis, the 8th chapter. Genesis 8, here's the basis for capital punishment this side of the flood. It has to be. And any society that does not have capital punishment to execute the wicked sooner or later are going to be overwhelmed, especially in a country like America, where you bring every nationality in the world here. And you know why they're bringing them into America, and especially into California? Can you believe it? The United States said we're going to take half of the Vietnamese refugees that are coming out of Hong Kong because we're so good and kind and loving that we don't want to see them go back to Vietnam. There is a program on, brethren, to pack the United States with so many people that when it comes time for us to submit to the United Nations, they will do it willingly. That's what it's for. So there are so many things going on. It is incredible. Makes me want to go to my cave in the Sawtooth Mountains, you know? But you can't get away from them because there may be an earthquake, and then I'd be squished flesh between stones in a cave, you know. So you can't have that, see? Okay, Genesis 9. I said 8, let's go to 9. Genesis 9, there it is. Verse 5, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. Now, you might want to put in your margin there Romans 13, the powers to be. Okay? At the hand of every beast will I require it, at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. There you go. Who was Jesus before he became Jesus? He was the God of the Old Testament. Oh, by the way, do you know I got a letter the other day, which I'll have to bring a sermon on, someone writing, these things cycle around in kind of cycles, that the first creation of God was Jesus, and Jesus was not God. Okay, so I'll bring a sermon on that one of these days. Okay? Now, this is not, notice, for Israel. This is not for the Jews. This was for all nations, because through Noah and his sons, the whole earth was overspread, correct? Here's the first instruction given that God gives, and he says, whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image God made he man. That's why, because some human being had the audacity to murder someone who is made in the image of God, that's why their life is required. But you see, we've kicked God out, so all we have is evolution, right? So maybe he'll evolve to be a better person while he's in jail. I'm mean, we're all waiting for the evolution of Charlie Manson, right? I'm not going to hold one breath for him. Okay, so there it is right there. That's what he commanded everyone to do. Why? Because God was interested in the welfare of human beings, that you don't have murderers running around. Okay? Now let's go back to Exodus 21. He again gave this to Israel. Now we're going to see some things in here. We'll cover some of these judgments. We covered them, oh, several years ago, going over some of these things. Okay, verse 12. He that smites a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. Why did he? Because he's made in the image of God. That's why. In other words, that is God's sentence. How dare anyone take someone's life by premeditated murder that God has brought into existence into this world? So therefore, God says, your life is going to be taken. That's it. Now, could a Christian accept the death penalty in the community that he is in? Yes. Yes, he could. Could you sit on a jury and deem someone worthy of death for a murder? Yes, you could. Now, he makes it clear that this is premeditated murder, where you lie in wait for him, or you think about it, or whatever, and then you go and seek out and murder this person.